Today's sermon is entitled, At Home Among the Weeds. It's based on Mark chapter 4, 26 through 34. At Home Among the Weeds. Any drive by the parsonage would indicate to you that I am no friend of yard work or gardening. The dandelions are not winning the war over my lawn. They have won it already. My strategy is just to keep anything that grows in the front of the house, besides the trees, to under 1 foot in height, and learn to enjoy the lovely yellow dandelions that so adorn my entire yard. I could tell my parable like Jesus told us. You know, the kingdom of God is like dandelions. They begin as tiny seeds that parachute throughout your yard, and soon these pretty yellow flowers will be everywhere, and all the bees and butterflies and little animals will come to enjoy them. Now, some of you would probably look quite seriously, furrow your brow, nod your head slowly, and think, yes, kingdom of God like dandelions. Oh, very wise, Pastor Matt. But others would be thinking, well, Matt's potato's been baking a little too long. Must be he spent a little too much time in the sun mowing dandelions, or he banged his head sometime during annual conference. Doesn't he know that dandelions are weeds? Doesn't he realize that Home Depot has herbicides designed to kill these things? Well, the mustard plant is a weed as well. And farmers in Jesus' day would have wanted neither mustard trees nor birds making nests under them, waiting for their crops to sprout up so that they could peck away at them. There would have been some in the congregation in Jesus' day who would have thought that because Jesus is a preacher, he must know what he's talking about, but I have a feeling that most of them would have thought that this guy is a little bit crazy. Some would have probably told him so. The kingdom of God is supposed to be beautiful, magnificent, glorious, and about all the desirable things, something that we would definitely like, not a dangerous weed that invades your fields and threatens your livelihood. How can the kingdom of God be something that endangers us? How indeed? In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is not so good at telling his audience what they want to hear, and I have to tell you that pastors who follow Jesus are not so good at telling you what you want to hear either. I can cajole you with sermons about God's love and joy and all the wonderful aspects of God, but such sentiments bring you only temporary satisfaction if they bring you any satisfaction at all, because if most of your days are spent not experiencing God's love or God's joy, eventually you might dismiss me as a liar. And if I keep telling you about all the wonderful things of God and you don't see them in your life, you're not going to pay much attention to me. Jesus was not a liar. He was telling people exactly what the kingdom of God was like, and it was not his fault if people didn't like what he had to say. Maybe the kingdom of God was not going to devastate their crops, but there would be some aspects of it that most people would not welcome. I've just come back from annual conference, and my arm is tired from raising it so many times for votes. You know, if you're in favor of this, raise your hand. If you're opposed, raise your hand. Not everything I voted for passed, and not everything I voted against failed. Not every decision the United Methodist Church makes is a decision that I support. Those pieces of legislation that I don't support were like weeds to me. Those were weeds, and if they passed, they were, you know, could be considered offensive to me. Those things that I wanted to pass but didn't, those are weeds as well. But part of my faith is that when we as a church are prayerful, God leads us in the right direction, and I'm not always right. Do you think that that's possible? Well, no, of course not. I'm the pastor. I'm always right. Okay, ideas and petitions are one thing, but what about people? Can people be weeds? I'll be honest, in some of our legislative sessions, things got a little ugly. There was even times of indirect name-calling. That's right, name-calling among clergy. And it had to be reined in by the bishop. Do we ever call other people weeds or think of them as weeds, undesirable, undeserving of our attention, our love, people we would be glad not to have around? Examine your hearts for a moment. Are there people like that, people you will not tolerate or you refuse to love? Are there people that you hope God will cast into the abyss before you take matters into your own hands and do it for yourself? Are there human weeds that you would like to get rid of eternally? Now perhaps you understand what Jesus was talking about. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's something that we may not like, and if your heart doesn't change, that seed will grow into a plant that will only get bigger and eventually overtake the kingdom that you've constructed. So how can we change our perspective? How can we stop seeing the mustard plant as a weed and start seeing it as something of beauty? The answer is to start praying. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's so counterintuitive, isn't it? That just goes against our whole nature. We don't love our enemies, we bomb them. We don't pray for those who persecute us, we pray that God would unleash his wrath upon them. But what happens when you pray, when you reach out to communicate with the living God? The answer is that you receive new eyes, so you can find beauty in something that first seemed ugly. You see potential in something that looked hopeless. You also see that through other sets of eyes, you might be the weed. And eventually you start seeing through the eyes of Jesus, and you realize our common humanity, our interconnectedness. You start seeing that we all belong to the same family. You can't pray that your enemy is snuffed, because your enemy is a child of the same God that who birthed you. If your biological brother or sister are doing something that bothered you, rather than killing them, wouldn't you want to have a serious talk with them and ask them why they did it? Wouldn't you care about what motivates them? Wouldn't you want to understand your brother or your sister? And wouldn't you care more about their well-being than about your own convenience? You know, there was a movie called The Day After Tomorrow, came out back in 2004, and the movie was a disaster movie, kind of a disastrous movie too, but a disaster movie about global warming causing changes in weather patterns, and a giant severe blizzard engulfs most of the United States, resulting in this mass migration southward to Mexico. And one of the ironic scenes shows United States citizens attempting to scale the fences that they had erected in order to enter Mexico. You know, the shoe was suddenly on the other foot. Prayer helps you see the other foot. Prayer helps you see the world through the eyes of a mustard tree, through the eyes of a weed. Prayer allows you to recognize that to a stranger, you might be the weed. Another beautiful part of annual conference was a service of repentance given by the non-indigenous people who live on this continent, in which we repented and asked forgiveness from the Native American community. As one Native American put it, she was not at any of the massacres that occurred in past centuries, and she had not experienced being driven off of her native lands. But she is connected to her ancestors through heritage and through memory, and so those atrocities of the past do affect her. Likewise, we were not directly involved in the abuses that took place long ago, but many of us are connected to those who did by our heritage. We know the whole annual conference, you know, the whole annual conference began with an invocation from the Shinnecock Nation, letting us know that we're welcome on their lands. Some may say that's absurd for them to welcome us because we conquered their people long ago. But that welcome for me was an offering of sweet forgiveness that I never formally had asked for. Their welcoming us was grace given to weeds. My prayer is that we could live as weeds among weeds, that we could recognize that someone out there might not be all that keen on welcoming you or I into their garden, but does so nonetheless, and does so graciously, even though in their eyes we may seem more like the weeds. Let us embrace our common weedhood, accept that the kingdom of God is inhabited by such as us, and welcome one another graciously. We are all weeds in someone's eyes, but we are all beloved in God's eyes. Amen.